Hello, this is Brian Wampler with another episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast, the podcast about guitars and amps and effects, as well as a healthy dose of interesting, really super interesting, off-topic discussions, mostly off-topic discussions. Joining me today is Blake Weiland. You know Blake. If you don't know Blake, go back to the previous 300 episodes. You know Blake by now. From awesome podcast called The Tone Mob, which is my second favorite podcast, of course, after, you know, after this one, because this is so good. It's so good, Blake. How you doing?
Doing good. I just dropped an episode with our mutual good friend, Mr. Philippe Herndon, in which we talked about almost nothing guitar related for about 40 minutes, but that shouldn't be surprising because every time he's came on the podcast, that's how it's went. And it's wonderful.
Every time I talk to Philippe, I mean this in a nice way, because I love the guy. He's just such a nice guy. Two, he's just so challenging mentally to me in a good way. So every time, like, we're talking, usually it's like through Facebook Messenger or text or something, and he'll say something, I'm like, holy crap, he's referencing something. I have no idea what he's talking about. And so I have to look it up, read a little bit of Wikipedia article. I'm like, oh, I get it now. Okay. Like, Philippe, I didn't even go to college, my dude. You got to dumb this way down for me.
Yeah. You got to step back. You're way above my, I don't know, everything. You're above my everything at this point.
He's such a good dude, Dale. And and makes some great pedals. So if you haven't checked out Caroline Guitar Effects, then you're missing some awesome effects.
Yeah.
Stop right now, press pause, and go to your favorite website that sells guitar pedals, or even a store. Let's say you have a store nearby. Go there and buy the Caroline guitar pedals.
Yes.
All of them.
All of them. I personally have two of them, and they're phenomenal. So there you go.
I guess I'll jump right into it, because speaking of amazing companies and amazing people that are making a living in this crazy industry, the music industry, Periphery. You pointed out a video done by Punk Rock MBA. I'll put a link in the description. And the title of the video is Why Periphery is the Smartest Band in Metal. And I haven't seen the video yet, but you've kind of gave me the shorthand version of it.
Right.
And it sounds like it's exactly what we've been talking about in regards to business and being in the musical industry all this time. It's just, here's a real life example of that happening.
Exactly. It's why it caught my eye, because I've kind of known all these things about Periphery. I didn't know all of the stuff. And if you want all the nitty gritty details, definitely go check out the video. It's really good. Finn is, I don't know him personally, but watching a lot of his videos, he focuses on basically like bands and artists that come from the scene that I grew up in, you know, the whole Warped Tour, like punk rock, emo, metalcore thing from like the 2000s onward. It's kind of his wheelhouse, but he focuses on like why some bands, you know, took off versus others, why, you know, certain bands are able to make a living and why some fail. Like, he focuses kind of on businessy type stuff. Not always. He does some other things too, but it's a good channel. And this video in particular, I thought was really interesting and very applicable to anyone trying to make their way in the music industry, really, whether that's gear companies or artists. Obviously this focuses more on artist side, but still it's really cool. I don't know where we want to start. There's a lot of angles to go with here. But he's got a chart that he puts up where Periphery is the center, and then he has a few different legs that shoot off of it that show, you know, different things they use to leverage their music, basically. So I don't know where you want to start with this, Brian. What do you think the best thing to point out is?
There's going to be several things that I just don't know about this because I haven't seen the video yet. But I kind of have seen it since you saw it and then you told me about it. So
yes,
there
by
you go.
Osmosis, you've sort of seen the video.
So basically, imagine the name Periphery right in the middle of the screen. And from there, you have arrows pointing out to all these different ways they make money. So one of them, of course, is live shows, right? They make a little money playing live shows. And from there, you could go to merch, shirts, and other accessories. You know, beer mugs.
Yeah.
Ashtrays.
All kinds of stuff. I don't know what Periphery all sells, but they sell. They have merch. I know they do. I've been to their shows before.
Steering wheel covers. You know, that's what they need. Furry steering wheel covers.
Furry steering wheel covered. Fuzzy dice. Fuzzy Periphery fuzzy dice.
Fuzzy dice for the mirror. You know, that's what they need. And I mean, so some of these are obvious. Recorded music. Of course, they make money on that. And then gear endorsements. They actually get paid to endorse gear.
That's well, he may not know that side of the biz. I don't think he's as into the. Well, you know what? They probably don't get paid to endorse gear, but there is a good chance that some of the endorsements they have, because like Misha is a really prolific player. I don't know this for a fact, but what he might be talking about is he probably gets like a cut of his signature models or something.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Like we make the Paisley Drive, of course, and we give a portion of that. Well, technically we give it a portion of that to Brad, who then the way it's set up, we basically donate all the money to his favorite charity. So cool. Yes, we do pay Brad, but it's set up so we directly deposit it into the other, you know, the other company for him. So it's, you know, it's a unique situation but if you're Brad Paisley, you know, like guitar pedal money ain't that much, folks.
He's like, let's just slide this to somebody who really needs it. That's cool of him. I didn't actually know that's how it was set up. That's really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. He gives every bit of it away to his favorite charity. I think it's a local charity in Nashville.
That's so cool.
Yeah. He's a good dude. He really is. And, I mean, that's something that it's not really something we publicize because he's just not that way. He's not like look at me. I'm a good person. Look what I do. You know, but that's the way he wanted it. Whenever we set it up, he's like, look, I like your stuff. I want to use your stuff. He's like, if you're going to pay any sort of royalty, here's where I would want that to go.
That's cool. But I have to imagine that's what's going on with Periphery as well. Like somebody buys a Misha Mansour signature or something or other, then, you know, like I'm sure a piece of that goes to him or their company or whatever. And, you know, there are other guys in the band too that have endorsements with various things. So gear endorsements don't always equal paycheck, but in some cases like signature models, it's possible. So
a few things on here, you're going to have to clarify for me a bit. So like, for example, on the screen, it has an arrow between clinics and gear endorsements. So how are those two? How did he tie those two together in the video?
Well, I don't remember exactly how the gear endorsements and the clinics themselves tie together. That seems like he probably has a good point. I really can't remember. I watched it a few days ago. Can't be expected to remember all this stuff. I can't even remember an hour ago. But obviously they do tour around all the members of the band. As far as I know, I've seen different things where they are going to do a clinic at a store. And you have to imagine they're not, you know, hopping on a plane, flying across the country and putting on a clinic where they're teaching how to do certain things for $0. You know, I don't know what they get paid, but they all almost certainly get something out of that.
Right.
And I've never heard of anybody putting on a clinic and not receiving compensation of some form or another. So I don't know how the gear ties together in that, unless maybe, you know, I don't remember who they are with for strings. I know D'Addario has sponsored certain artists to travel around and put on clinics. So that might be the link. I don't know for sure if that's who they are with. I don't think they are. I don't remember who their string people are. But I know that like D'Addario has sponsored Yvette Young to like go around and put on clinics at various stores and they cover that. So that could be how those two are linked.
So between live shows and clinics, we have arrows pointing to each other. VIP and lessons, summer camp, band happy. What's going on there?
So the VIP and lessons. The VIP are like meet and greets. You know, people can pay a little extra on their ticket price to meet the band and hang out with them, you know, usually before the show a little bit. And lessons obviously are online, mostly guitar lessons and things like that. So people pay because they want to learn from these guys how to play the style that they play, and that costs a little bit of money. The summer camp was an event that they would put on for like periphery fans to come like congregate at and, you know, hang out and play music. And as far as I'm aware, I didn't look into that all that much, but it's an event thing that they do. Band Happy is one of the members' companies that I believe, I really wish I could remember all the, there's so much going on in this video. It's a whole 16 minute video. Band Happy was a company that, I can't remember if it's a social platform or what it was, but it was a, it was something to connect musicians with people they needed to be connected with. I cannot remember what Band Happy is. Sorry. I think I remember most of this stuff, but I don't remember what Band Happy is, but it's another offshoot project from a member of the band.
Okay. Yeah. I was looking it up and the first thing I can't, this can't be right, because the video is from like a few weeks ago, and in 2014, it says Periphery drummer shuts down Band Happy.
I think so. That's right. I think he mentioned that like this is something they used to do.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what Band Happy is. Band Happy connects music teachers with students seeking lessons.
Oh, there you go. Boom. There you go. So that's how it comes. That springs off the lessons. That makes some sense.
Oh my goodness. So
if only I had a machine where I could like look things up and not have to go off of my memory.
If only if there was a place that you could just type in questions and get some sort of information back regarding your question, you know, it'd be so handy. Yeah.
What would
we call it? The outer web, maybe?
The outer web? The dark web? I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't think we call it. I would probably call the dark web something that's a little less wholesome, if I had to guess. No?
Probably so. We got some more legs to explore here, though.
Yes, we do. So yeah, go ahead and continue. I know.
I was going to say the most obvious one for people who listen to this show, obviously, would be Horizon Devices. I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this have heard of Horizon Devices before. And if you don't know what that is a company that Misha formed with somebody else. I can't remember who, but it's a pedal company. So they make pedals.
And for those who don't know, Misha is a guitar player.
Yes. He's like the hub of Periphery. He's kind of the, I think he's like the guy who formed everything. I don't really know the history of the band that well, but he's like the main dude. That's why I keep bringing him up so much.
Yeah, he created a company that, you know, that he runs that sells guitar pedals, which makes sense if you're a guitar player. You know, it's one of those things that makes sense. You got a band.
Especially if you have a specific sound that you're known for, like he does.
Right. Probably, I don't think this works too well if you're like in a Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute band. I don't think it works quite the same.
Right.
But if you're in a unique sounding band with an identifiable style, then it probably works a lot better.
Uh-huh. I would agree with that.
So what is GGD? That Horizon Devices, there's an arrow going between that.
So yeah, those are kind of connected. That is Get Good Drums. And Get Good Drums is a plugin company. So you've probably heard of, I used to know these a lot better when I was doing more recording, but you can get drum packages where people have, you know, much like an IR for a guitar cab or something else, where people have sampled various drums recorded in various rooms around the world in some of the best studios ever. And you can then take that drum tone, hook it up to, well, you could use a MIDI controller, or you could hook it up to like an electric drum kit and drum in the traditional fashion and have really great drum sounds. Drums are something that can be really difficult to record if you don't have a good space for it. That's part of why the Shred Shed is so tall, because I originally planned on recording drums out here, and in general, short ceilings aren't ideal for recording drums. You kind of need that space. So
I don't know if a lot of people know this or not, but there's a lot of very popular bands who will go in the studio and record something and will take those drum sounds that are, you know, already mic'd up, and they'll just have that sort of trigger a pre-recorded sound. So maybe you don't like your snare. You're like, ah, we need a different snare on this song. Rather than re-record the song, you just make that trigger, that mic'd sound from that snare, trigger a different sound of a snare. Sort of an impulse response sort of thing, if that makes sense. Not exactly, but that might be a way for guitar players to think of it. It's just a, it's a, man, how do I explain this?
It's a sample.
The software replaces the yeah. mic'd sound with the sampled sound. How about that? Mm-hmm. That's a way to put it.
Yeah, there you go. That's perfect. Well, in a, as a matter of fact, so some of my earliest recording experiences were with my friend Leon, which we mentioned, I think, last time from Pelican Noise Works. He would record drums with his electric, you know, mesh kit. And the sounds in that kit were, you know, they were passable. But what it did is it created a MIDI track. And then he would use, I don't remember which his favorite plugin was, but he had a plugin that, that had these sampled sounds. And all of a sudden we had amazing sounding drums. It's kind of a cool way to do it if you don't have a space to record drums the traditional way. And Get Good Drums is their company that provides those drum sounds. So there we go.
Fascinating. I love little, I call it nerdy stuff, but I love like messing with that sort of thing, because believe it or not, I'm not going to sit around and try to get good sounds from drums. I'm just not going to. It's not my not my thing. I mean, I guess I would if it was my job, but if I'm just recording something for myself, I'm just going to trigger some samples, you know, call it a day. Unless I have the money to go into a really nice studio with really nice rooms and really nice mics and an engineer that knows what they're doing. That's a whole different discussion. But at that point, you're writing some checks with zeros in it.
Yeah. to say the least. And probably not all zeros either. There's probably going to be a number in front
of them. There's probably a number in front of those zeros, generally.
Yeah. But let's see. Right, we've covered almost everything on the spider chart here. But
we have three dot recordings. Is that?
I believe that is a record label or a studio. I can't remember which it is. I'm sure if I Googled it, I could figure it out. But it is one of those things. I think
so they're getting money from a label of some sort that they probably own or have interest in, and they're also producing. So they're producing other people's work.
Yep.
Basically, so what you see is this huge, all these peripheries, of sorts, all these arms outside of their traditional business of making music that allows them to still make music for a living. It doesn't mean that they're only writing music, recording music, and then going out and supporting that via some sort of show or concert, right? That's kind of what this chart is showing, is that traditional way. I don't want to say it's dead, but it certainly doesn't work that well for most people these days.
You know, that lines up with something that I was talking to a local producer here probably about a year ago. We were recording a demo of some new Benson, well, new at the time, Benson amps here in Portland. We were in a really nice studio, and I was talking to the engineer there, and you know, he was like, the music industry is weird, man. He's like, very rarely do you find anybody who's in the music industry full time that isn't wearing multiple hats. He was like, I got this studio. I do live stuff at this venue. I do live stuff at this venue. I have a band. I have this. I have a that. All music related. But, you know, he's right. Like, even if you want to be sustainable, it's good to diversify. And that's kind of true regardless of what industry you're talking about, but it seems especially true in the music industry, no matter what capacity you're working in it, whether you're a mixer, producer, like all of this applies. The reason I brought it up is because it's a lot of the things we've been saying for years about like how to start a pedal company. Well, it's like you almost need to be a media company first and then be a pedal company, as weird as that might sound. And that's kind of what musicians are. Like, they produce content, which is their music, which gets people hooked on their music and then allows them to, you know, support the band in other ways. And that's, Periphery has just given their audience a lot of different ways they can support them instead of just the traditional ways. which I think is really smart.
And I'm sure there's also more behind the scenes that people don't know. I mean, there generally is other, you know, assets of some sort that helps keep them afloat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that's real estate. Like an example would be maybe they own some real estate, you know, something like that. Like, who knows? But things like that are quite common, especially when once people kind of start figuring out how money really works. And I know this is kind of going a different way, but money generally doesn't work the same way most people think it does. The tighter you hold on to it, the quicker it seems to go. And if you kind of use it as a tool for things, then it kind of works for you. So most people use money to buy something to make them feel better, like guitar pedals. At some point as a business, you start seeing, well, as a successful business, you start seeing that money not to be there for necessarily your second house or your third house. It's there so you can buy things that are going to help sustain your business or sustain your lifestyle or whatever. So,
or improve it, you know,
or improve it, others' lives. I mean, I know a lot of people that have started a business of some sort just because they had a huge interest in some sort of charity. They created something around that to really funnel money into that charity.
I mean, this is kind of unrelated, but that's what the entire Newman's Own brand is. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Newman's Own. It's a company that Paul Newman started, the actor Paul Newman.
Ah.
And it's like food. Like, I think it came to mind because I just bought some of his salad dressing. they make food in all kinds of different forms, salad dressings, condiments, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I recognize the logo. I'm with you now.
Yeah. Okay. But the whole thing behind that entire brand is that Paul started that to do exactly what you said. Every dollar that they make that doesn't go back into running the business goes to charity. Because that guy obviously didn't need any money. You know what I mean? Like, he was a very successful actor. But he started this company to do exactly what you said, to be a profit machine to feed charities that he cares about, which I think is very cool.
But there are some people who think that money's kind of evil, you know, and it can be depending on the person that's holding it, you know?
Yeah. Kind of like anything, right? Anything can
be
used for good or for bad. A hammer is a very useful tool, but if somebody hits you in the head with it, it then becomes bad.
That's a good point. So, but all these different aspects of running a business is, that's what we've been talking about for what, 2, 3, 4 years now? I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a while. And every time we talk to you, the audience, about, you know, if you want to make money or if you want to do something with music and create some sort of income, don't think just about writing music, recording it, and selling it. Like, think bigger than that. This is a perfect example of really what we've been talking about.
Yeah. And everybody, definitely go watch the video. And it doesn't matter if you're a fan of Periphery or not. That has nothing to do with it. This is just illustrating a really good way forward. You know, this band is successful because they've been doing this for a long time. They didn't just wake up all of a sudden, we're a very popular metal band, and then just do all this stuff. This has been work that they've been putting in for years and years and years and years, on top of trying to make music that they like and that resonates with people. So just go watch this video and start thinking creatively about this stuff, because we get this kind of question. I know I do, like, all the time. Like, all the time. And people like ask what I do, and I'm like, well, I do this podcast, and that's what people know me most from, and it makes a little bit of money, but really it's the things that come from the podcast that actually is the way that I make my living. And that's why it's so complicated to try to explain, because I also wear a whole bunch of different hats.
Right. So. Yeah, it's not like Spotify sends a check every month. Like, here you guys go. Thanks so much.
No, not
at all.
Doesn't
quite work that way. But there's people that listen to this podcast that may want Blake to help them do their social media or some other type of business matter for their business. And then now Blake gets a little money from that. That's kind of how podcasts work. for the most part. And you know what? And even if you, when you go check this video out, if you don't like this video, there's another one that you should check out. It's coming up on my suggested list. So that means it's definitely going to be on yours. Actually, that doesn't mean that at all. But I just saw it.
It's like it does.
And it's from Joe Scott. What is the loudest sound ever made? And I was like, 150 watt Marshall. I don't think that's what he's talking about, but that's immediately what popped into my mind is loud Marshalls. You know?
Loud Marshalls or my infant son. One of those two things. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
That is a loud kid, let me tell you. He screams.
Well, that he sounds screams like he's gonna be a singer.
Whether he's happy or he's upset because you took something away from him, he screams about it. Either way, you're getting
maybe you got a screamo singer in the works right there. You know what I mean? Is screamo even a thing anymore?
It was a descriptor used for a bunch of different bands that didn't all sound the same. So I think they kind of stopped using that term so much, and it's those artists have gotten more or the genres have gotten more descriptive, or because screamo, everyone was like screamo, and that didn't really mean anything because it encompassed like any band that screamed, which didn't make any sense, obviously.
I was something I've been wondering. I actually put a question on our Facebook group the other day about this. How would you define metal? Like when someone said, and I asked that because of this, when someone says, I'm looking for a good metal tone, what pedal would you recommend? I'm always like, well, what kind of metal? There's about 4,000 different, like, you know what I mean? So
yeah, that's not a good place to start.
Like, so I'm like, okay. So I was asking the members of the tone group there, like, how would you define a metal tone? Like when I think of metal, I start thinking of like Iron Maiden or something like that, you know, unless we're talking like newer metal, you know, so, then I'm probably looking at something more like, well, like Periphery.
So you hit the nail right on the head because metal is huge. Metal is a massive genre. Like it's one of the biggest musical genres and like probably widest encompassing. Did I use that word right? I don't know. musical genres that there is, because Cannibal Corpse doesn't sound anything like Periphery. Periphery doesn't sound anything like Iron Maiden. You know, Def Leppard doesn't really sound like Iron Maiden either, kind of, I guess. But, like, there's a whole bunch of different levels to this. Like, there's metalcore. There's death metal. There's grindcore. There's, you know, hair metal. There's every type of thing that you... There's power metal. I mean... Name a type of thing and there's a metal for it. There's even pirate metal. So
that's amazing. I need a flow chart. I need some sort of flow chart to help me with this because the old dad in me doesn't quite get it. You know? I'm sitting here looking at my grass stained white tennis shoes and trying to figure out metal. You know?
Well, don't worry. Really, you and every other metal fan is trying to figure out metal because sometimes it's really confusing.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. So you're going to make that flow chart for me, right?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. No. What you should say, though, like when somebody, because I know you get that question, like how to get a good metal tone. Like you should say, like, what band are you trying? What are some of your favorite metal bands? That'll be way easier than trying to guess what they're going for. Like I said, like Def Leppard doesn't sound anything like Periphery. And they're both metal bands. So
that's true. If the person liked Def Leppard and then I gave them the sound of a Periphery song, then like, hey, this sounds like Misha Mansour.
This sounds like Gent. What's going on? So yeah, that's a tricky thing. That's definitely how I would respond to it. And I saw that thread and I like saw what a bunch of people are posting. And so I threw a band in there that I think has great metal tone that nobody was talking about anything in that style, which is Fit for an Autopsy.
I've never heard of that band.
Oh, great, great band. Great band. Really good and very aggressive. So, well, you can imagine.
Fit for an Autopsy. I'll have to Spotify that one later. That is a verb I can use, right? I can Spotify something, can't I?
If you can Google something, surely you can Spotify things by now.
That's my thought.
What else we got?
Yep, that's that's actually probably a good place to stop for today. Because
yeah,
after spitting out some knowledge like that, I need a cup of coffee.
I feel that. Plus, I got to go live with the Orange Amps guys here in a couple minutes. So
Tell them thank you for my rocker verb. Not that they gave it to me personally. I bought it. But just for the fact that they actually made it, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I should have bought it. I should have bought that.
You would love this orange. It's not for sale anymore. I was going to sell it. It's not for sale anymore.
I remember because I considered buying it from you. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or not 3 years ago or whatever, but I remember I was like, ooh, I should buy Brian's orange.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, no, I have other things that I'm, yeah. I had another amp coming. That's why I didn't buy it. So it's like,
you say that like it's a bad thing having too many amps in the mail.
Well, it's not bad for me. It's bad for my wallet. So there's that.
Well, do more marketing jobs, my dude.
I'm trying.
All right.
So I can buy an orange.
There you go. So for those listening to the Chasing Tone podcast, thank you. If you'd like a marketing consultation of sorts, hit Blake up. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wampapedals.com. I'll personally get your email to email Blake directly. This goes direct to his own personal inbox. Just simply email tinfoil. Where did that come from? info@tonemob.com. I have no idea where tinfoil came from. I must have just misread.
That's what the hat terrible. I'm wearing right now.
If you like this podcast, just make sure to show it to show it. I can't speak today. Make sure to share it with your friends, bandmates, and others into guitar podcasts. That's the best way to show support for the show, other than, you know, listening to the Tone Mob and going to Wampler Pedals and buying something. Because, you know, we got blogs and videos and all kinds of fun stuff on that website. It's awesome. You'd love it. Anyways, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.